Okay, so this week I'm going to go back. I'm going to revisit a concept we once mentioned a little bit. We mentioned before Purim the idea called Eis Ratzon. And that was because Purim was an Eis Ratzon, so we went into that. But I want to go through, you know, I don't know if I'm going to hit every other time, but at least many of the other times and other days that are considered an Eis Ratzon for Tefillah. And as we mentioned, an Eis Ratzon is what we call limited time offer. Rav Dessler explains, and he says it about Zman Matan Teresenu, but he says that he heard from his Rebbe, Ki ein hazman over aleinu el anu holchem besochu. Time is not what's passing us, but we're within the time. He says, L'mashal kol ha-shabbosos hein Shabbos echad. Every Shabbos is really one Shabbos. El anu holchem be'igul ha-shavui u'magim shuv el Shabbos. We go in a weekly cycle. So every week we come back to the same point where we were. It says, Kein kol chag shavuos echad hu. Same thing as every shavuos. We go in a circle, a yearly circle. And we get back to what's called Zman Matan Teresenu. And the reason it's Zman Matan Teresenu is because that moment that the Torah was given, we get to that moment every single Shavuos. It's the same moment. And he says that is what Rav Dessler says is what an Eis Ratzon is. That every day, every hour of a day has something spiritual put into it. And that comes every time that day, every time that hour comes back. And that's why, as we said, Shabbos, Shavuos, that's why Chatzos has all this potential of spirituality, of Hashem's Racham and Chanun, is because it's the same moment that it was when it first happened. And during the Eis Ratzon, there's a charge of that attribute, just like any wireless connection, there's a charge in the air. But only those who tap into it, only the one who's getting that phone call, who's getting that text, only they're the ones who get it, the same's in the Eis Ratzon. If we don't tap into that charge, then we're not gonna have it. And it's a gift package slice of time that was for us to unwrap and put it to its use. And as I said, we'll go through many of them. I have about 15 or 16 that I have here, but I'm sure there are more. The most famous is obviously Vesikin. And the Gemara in Brachos tells us that the Vesikin, it goes on the pasuk of Yiru'ucha im Shemesh lifnei Yerach dar darim, that they're going to fear you with the rising of the sun, generation upon generation. And that's talking about davening Shemoneh Esrei at Vesikin, at sunrise. And obviously, even without the Gemara, one who wakes up and watches a sunrise can feel something different about that moment in the day. The day isn't fresh, it's new, it's pure still, it's yet to be marred by all the things that are going to take place. So even without the Chazal, we could already feel there's something special about that moment. And the Gemara tells us that the Vesikin are the ones, they're the devoted ones, that they finish Kriya Shema just before Nates, and they go right from the Bracha of Gal Yisrael into Shemoneh Esrei. And the Gemara tells us that those who connect the Bracha of Geula to Tefillah, and it's by the Gemara of Nates, tells us that they'll have no harm done to them during that day. There are other Brachos that a person who davens the Vesikin gets, Rav Yonason Eibshitz explains, that the beginning of the morning is when Hashem has the most mercy for Klal Yisrael. And that's when He goes through the sustainment for us and supports us. And it's because as the other nations are getting up to serve their Avodah Zarah, we're coming to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And as it says in Tehillim, and we say it every Shabbos, Sabeinu v'aboker chazdecha u'niranano v'nismacha b'chol yameinu, that satisfies with your kindness in the morning, and then we'll sing out and rejoice throughout the whole day. So by the kindness, the chesed that Hashem gives in the morning, that's what will get us through the day. And Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein says that this is the best time to daven for parnasa. He says, especially one who gets up and loses sleep to daven at Nates, and he quotes Rashi and Yuma that says that Hashem sustains those graciously who deny sleep for, you know, to come to Him. So, and it's very important, those who daven at Vesikin, to the point that one who always davens Vesikin, and let's say he's traveling and he can't, there's no Vesikin minyan, he can daven b'yichidus to still get that Vesikin, as opposed to all the kedushas and kaddish and amens that he's missing by not joining a minyan. However, Shlomo Kluger says that one who does not regularly daven out of a Vesikin minyan should not jeopardize everything he gets out of a minyan to just say, oh, you know, today I'm going to daven at home, I'm going to daven Vesikin. And, you know, as we say, you know, with Vesikin, that the day again is just dawning, everything's still quiet, everyone's window shades are still drawn, our hearts, they're still clean, they're hopeful, there's a lot of potential we're hoping for. But it's not just that optimism of the day, But there's an actual, the neshama's understanding that there's a golden moment, there's a golden opportunity, that as the day is dawning, of what we have to daven for. Second, a chuppah. We all know the chuppah is the climactic moment of a chassan and a kala, as they go through their own Yom Kippur. And they fasted, they said vidui, and now they're under the chuppah with the shechina resting with them. However, it's not only the chassan and kala who are in the presence of the shechina, but everyone who's there has that same moment. The chuppah is an atmosphere charged with kedusha and spiritual potential for anyone who's fortunate enough to be at one, and it's a chance to daven, you know, not just as a chassan and kala davening for future doors, but each person has the chance to daven with Hashem sitting right there. Thirdly, mincha. The Torah tells us that mincha is the most special tefillah, and he says that vahatam, the reason being, is b'nei tefillos ha-shachris mani yidu b'boker b'kumo m'mitaso. Shachris has the unknown time. It's when you get up in the morning, mispal miyad, kodim sheitar v'asaka, before you get all busy, v'chein shalar v'balayla, so to marv at night, z'mani yidu also has a set time, b'vo l'beis, so it's when you come home, v'ponim asaka, and you're done doing everything. Aval shal mincha hi be'emtza hayom, mincha is the middle of the day, ba'ochu tarad ba'asakav, you're busy with all your needs and all your things. Tzarech losum osa alibol, you have to put it in your heart, lofanis usal asakav, and to turn away from the things you're doing, will spalal osa unto davin, vim osa kein, schara harbe meyod. And the Torah says if you do that, it's very important. And as I know my wife says, and many women I've heard say, it's usually during bedtime routine that suddenly, gotta go, and you know the men are out to mincha, and the wives are left at home. But there is something that even on the wife's end, that they're letting the husband run out. But it is, we get up and we have to leave, whether it's from work, from something going on, that makes mincha very beloved. And the Rashba tells us that just as the Aseres Yemei Tshuva is an Eis Ratzon for the whole year, mincha is the Eis Ratzon of every single day. And there's a special Ashkacha Protos for tefillah to go up to Shemayim, as the Gemara tells us. A person should be very careful with tefillah, because that was when Eliyahu HaNavi was answered through the mincha tefillah. And therefore, just like Eliyahu, it's a moment that we should be very careful. Four, mincha on Shabbos. The Zohar tells us that during this tefillah, our tefillahs have a special efficacy. The Aruch HaShulchan says, he says that, you know, he mentions we start with Asher V'Altzion, but then he says, we say the pasuk V'anit Tefillasi. And the Medrash says on this that David HaMelech was saying that Shari b'nei Adam shows him ishtakrim. At this time, the other people, they drink, they get drunk, v'oskim b'holos, and they're doing all sorts of things. V'ani k'she eshte, when I drink osik ani achach b'toru tefillah, I get into Torah and tefillah. And he says, therefore, even on Yontif, where there's no kriyas, therefore he says on Yontif, where there's no kriyas of Torah, we don't say it, but it's tied to the fact that we're laning. And the Zohar says that even one who davens b'yichidus, meaning if he, let's say, missed mincha, he couldn't get to shul, he would still say the pasuk of ani tefillasi, because it's of the moment of the Eis Ratzon, that saying, you know what, I'm here, my tefillah's in the Eis Ratzon, because we're coming to Kriyas HaTorah. Fifth is a bris. Rav Pesach Kron tells over a story. There was once a bris, and they were waiting, and they were waiting. And Rav Shlomo Kluger was one of the people at the bris, and he's wondering, like, you know, it's an unusual amount of time that they're stalling. And he asked someone, and they said, oh, the baby's father is critically ill in the hospital, and they don't think he's really going to make it. So the minig here is to wait as late as we can, so that if the father passes away, we can name the baby for him. And Rav Kluger objected and said, no, the bris should be done now, and should be done by the father's bedside. And they did that. And shortly thereafter, the father began to recover and got better. And Rav Kluger explained that when Eliyahu HaNavi comes to heal the baby at the bris, he can heal the father as well, and therefore, the bris had to be when it was. And the time of the bris, it's a direct line for tefillos that are recited at the moment that the baby cries. And the Baal Olal Elos Ephraim says that everyone should daven and have in mind their own pain and suffering, just as the baby is crying out in his pain and suffering. And from that pain of the bris, the baby's voice goes straight up to Shemayim without any obstructions. And it's a conduit for all tefillos that are said at that same moment that the baby's crying out. Rav Tzadok HaKohen says that the time of the bris is particularly potent for tefillos of refuah, as it brings refuah into the world. And he brings the Gemara Megillah that says, "Umaro loma refuah b'shminis." The Gemara Megillah is going through the different brachos, why the Anshei Knesset set them up at what number. And the Gemara asks, why is the bracha Rafeinu, the eighth bracha? And Amar Rebbe Acha, Rav Acha says, "Mtokshen nos namila b'shminis." Since the bris mila is the eighth day, shetrich refuah, which needs refuah, lefichach kavua b'shminis. Therefore, refa'enu is the eighth bracha also. And it's because, again, since it's bringing the power of healing into the world, so therefore refa'enu is the same bracha. And therefore, the day of a bris is a skula for the davening for shlema for someone who's sick. And little does that little child understand and realize how much he's accomplishing at that moment he's joining the bris avos, and how he carries all these tefillos up to Hashem's ear, you know, with his cries, with nothing getting in the way. Number six, lech benching. Rav Baruch Hyman tells over a story of what brought him close to back to Torah. He says his grandfather was an assistant to Prime Minister Ben-Gurion. And even though his family really wasn't observant, his grandmother lit candles every Friday night. And as she did so, she would pray that her children should be like Ben-Gurion. Who else, you know, do they look up to? Wow. One day Ben-Gurion came back to the office and spoke about the Chazon Ish in a glowing fashion. And he had just met with him, and he said, "He's mamash like a malach, he's an angel." And his grandfather went home, and he told this over to his wife, the grandmother. And Rav Hyman's grandmother said, "You know what, if Ben-Gurion feels about that, this is the, you know, what the Chazon Ish is, you know, I'm going to daven my children become like the Chazon Ish." He says, and that's why today, he, you know, he's from, you know, and you know, is into Torah. And we know every heart warms at the image. We picture a wife, a mother, standing by her Shabbos candles, her eyes closed, and she's davening for her husband and her children. The Marshak told over about his unlearned mother, who he said, you know, she didn't really know how to daven. But when she would light her Shabbos candle, she would say in Russian, "May it be your will that my Shmuel be a Talmud Chacham." And so it became. The Kav HaChaim tells us, and he writes, he says, "Roy Leisha, she's spal b'shas adlokas national Shabbos. A lady should daven when she's lighting candles. Shidin lo Hashem bana me'irin b'torah. Hashem should give her children that light, you know, light up it with Torah." And he says the reason is because when one does a mitzvah, your tefillah is heard more, and the schus of Ner Shabbos, we know, is a schus of Torah involved. And he brings a gerus of the tefillah she should say. He says she should say, "Yiratzim olfanecha, Hashem olkai volkei avasai, shetochus usrachim olai, leishevra, you know, achmonas ami, v'tagdol chaschai modin, your chesed should be great with me, losses li zera anoshim, osir etzoncha, you should give me children that do your will, v'oskim etara sech lishma, and learn your Torah lishma, and they should light up again because of the schus of this of the Ner Shabbos, as it says, Kiner mitzvah tarar. V'gam tochus utrachim al bali ploni ben ploni," and he adds, she should daven about her husband also. "V'titin lo aruch yamim," and she should ask that he gets aruch yamim. "V'shnos chayim in bracha v'hatzlocha," should have a long life with bracha and hatzlocha. "V'tisayeyu lasus ritzoncha b'shleimus," and that he should do your will b'shleimus. And he goes on, you know, with the v'chule then, so I don't know what the rest he then, you know, they're saying then. There you go. Yes, that v'inom v'chule, yilaratzim v'chule. Yes, thank you, Ezra. And that the person... Oh, you're just reading the line. I thought you were saying, no, you know, I'm it saying, from your wife saying it.
No, it's in every
okay. Dominating. Okay. So that... That not only should she daven for her children, but that also her husband should, you know, should daven for him too. And every woman has that same power, has that same koach, when she spends those few minutes, you know, with real conversation with Kadosh Baruch Hu at the hadlaka, you know, after the Neiros. Number seven, tzedakah and chesed. The Meiri tells us in Bava Basra that tzedakah given before tefillah serves as an advocate between us and Kadosh Baruch Hu, and it ensures that our tefillahs will be accepted. The Kedushas Levi explains that the tzedakah a person gives has the ability to redeem the tefillos from the Malachi Chavala, from the prosecuting angels that our Averos created. And when we give tzedakah, so obviously it's not a requirement prior to davening, but it's a widely recommended and encouraged minhag. As the Mishnah Berurah, as the Mechaber tells us, Tovlit ain't tzedakah kodem tefillah, it's good to give tzedakah before davening. And they bring down in the Minhage Brisk that the Brisker Rav, before he would daven for a chola, always gave tzedakah. Rav Moshe Wolfson says, you know, it happens sometimes, we come to shul, we have no money on us. So a person should at least say, or have in mind at the minimum, that it's my desire to give tzedakah, however presently I'm unable to. And in that way, again, that desire at least will help the tefillah. The Medrash tells us also that not only tzedakah, but one who does a chesed prior to davening, his tefillahs also are heard. And there's a story told over, it was a late one Erev Yom Kippur, the Chassam Sofer asked his daughter to take care of an urgent mission for him. He wanted her to travel to one side of Pressburg, to a house of an orphan boy, and tell him that Motzei Yom Kippur, her father's going to propose a shidduch for him. And then she should travel to the other side of Pressburg, to the kala, the young orphan kala that he was going to propose, and give her the same message. And she was ready to go, but was a little nervous. Yom Kippur's getting close, and she said to her father, she said, you know what, it's almost called Nidre. Nothing's happening today. You know, can I do this tomorrow? Tomorrow night? And the Chassam Sofer replied, he said, my daughter, I have to take this mitzvah with me to shul. It can't wait. Because if I have this mitzvah, I have this chesed, then my davening, I know my Yom Kippur will be a better Yom Kippur. Number 8, Brich Shmei. So we know this is said when we remove the Sefer Torah. The Chazon Ish says that Brich Shmei is among those tefillos that are most auspicious for success in Torah learning. And we're asking Hashem in that tefillah to bring us closer to Him. And the Zohar and the Sod Cherish of Avodah write that because we're preparing to read the Torah, since we're doing something that Hashem wants, His love for us is aroused at that moment that creates this Eis Ratzon. And it's so important, this tefillah, that one who had not yet said Tachnun would interrupt prior to Tachnun to say Brich Shmei. And the Mishnah Berurah also tells us that the Vimlo Omro b'shas otzah, if you didn't say it when the Sefer Torah was taken out, Yuchol Omro achas sheposchon lekroso, till they start laning, you could still say this tefillah. And therefore one should take advantage of it. They say over that the Chavetz Chaim during this tefillah used to talk to Hashem about the fact that he had kas. I'm going to ask Hashem to help him with it, because Kahanim have kas, and he would say that, you know, you made me the Kayin, you know, please help me. So it's a moment that we're able to daven, so we should take advantage and not get lost, you know, which many times, you know, we get, the Sefer's coming out, and we're, you know, busy doing everything else. Number 9, Birchas Kayanim. The Zohar teaches that when the Kahanim lift their hands to Duchen, to bless Klal Yisrael, the Shechina comes down and rests on the fingers of each Kohen, and Hashem accedes to their bracha. And Rosh Shimshon Pinkus in Tehillim says, Birchas Kayanim is the highest, is the greatest Eis Ratzon that we have in this world. It's at that moment that the gates of Shemayim are opened, and what more can anyone need than to have the gates of Shemayim open for us? Number 10, davening with a minion. When we focus on an individual, for example, one of our children comes to us, what do we see? We see their faults. They don't listen here, they're stubborn, they're this, they're that. But when a person molds into a group, all your children come together, then the overall spirit of that group overrides the individual traits of each member. And this is why a minyan helps to make an Eis Ratzon. Rav Chaim Shmulevitz explains that the power of the minyan is a brand new entity, and it's greater than the parts of the individuals that make it up. And the Gemara in Tainus tells us that one who davens with the minyan can even compensate for lack of kavana by any one member during the minyan, because hopefully at least someone in that minyan had kavana at that moment. And therefore, you can get an entire Shemona Esrei with kavana, because someone in the minyan will hopefully have had that kavana. And the very definition of Eitz Ratzon is linked to davening with a minyan, as the Gemara in Brachos tells us, Ma'idik siv anitvi lasi l'cha Hashem Eitz Ratzon, Eimasai Eitz Ratzon, when is an Eitz Ratzon? B'shosh ha'tzibra misvalim, it's when the tzibra davens. So we see that in Eis Ratzon, a favorable time is when the tzibur is davening with the minyan. And also the gematria of tefillah b'tzibur and Eis Ratzon are the same. They're really off one, but in the rules of gematria, you're allowed to be off one. It's really 8:15 and 8:16. So that also shows how tefillah b'tzibur and Eis Ratzon are connected. Number 11, davening when others daven. And the Shulchan Aruch tells us that if one cannot get to shul, you know, he's sick, for example, so he should daven Shemona Esrei at the same time that the tzibur davens. And the Kav HaChaim tells us that he benefits then from the moment of the when they're davening. It should be at the moment that they're davening the Shemona Esrei. Avaloshar Atvila, it's not necessarily for the rest of it. And Vatami says, Lefisha Oz Eis Ratzon, again, that's the Eis Ratzon. The olin called tefillos biyachad, all the tefillos are going up together. So even though you're not in shul because you couldn't be there, you know, and again, it could be someone's away on business, and he knows based on the timing, you know, when davening is. So that sense of belonging to the minyan is what synchronizes his tefillah with them. And the Stipel Gaon suggests that this benefit is only with one's usual minyan. And Rav Yosef Shalom El Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman Orbach define that again as one's regular minyan. So my assumption is even if someone's traveling, if they're able to, again, time zones can make it a little difficult, but if they're able to work with the minyan that they normally daven at back home, that's where they should try to match. So it sounds from the Stipler and El Yashiv and Shlomo Zalman that it goes based on your usual minyan. So it sounds like, and again, obviously if you're, you know, in New York and you're 3 hours ahead and your minion's davening 7:30, right, you miss matfilah, it doesn't work.
They have one minion and they're davening at that time.
So it sounds like, well, if you're at could go to shul, you should go. But if you can't be there, it sounds like, yes, you're supposed to do it back to your...
Sometimes to one mayor, sometimes you go to the other mayor.
So I am not sure, because it sounds like there's something about the fact that there's a connection back to where you are. So that connection, so you're right, if you're sort of a floater...
Sometimes you come here. Right. Sometimes you come to 9:30.
Yeah. So that I'm not sure. I'm not sure. Something to follow up on. Number 12, Elul. There's no time like the month of Elul. It's when those whose ears are attuned, the sound of Elul penetrates deeply and stirs out a neshama to tshuva. And there's, as we know, a special charge at that time, where the Shechina comes, the Rachmanis is there. To utilize these days to their fullest potential, we have to reaffirm our acceptance of Hashem as the Melech. And to the extent that we do this, our tshuva and our tefillos during this Eitz Ratzon will have that special power to restore us to that closeness of Hashem. And Rav Itzel Petterberger explains, this is why Rosh Hashanah comes prior to Yom Kippur, is because we have to be Mamlech Hashem prior for the tshuva, in order for us to reach the proper level of tshuva. 13, the Aserisimei tshuva, as we move one step up the ladder. The Navi Yeshayah tells us, Dir Shor Hashem b'imatzu, Karubi Yosakarov, Shekol Hashem when he's found, when he's close. And this is what indicates to us that there's a specific time that we have an easier time to find Hashem. And the Gemara Shoshana tells us that this is during the Aserisimei tshuva. And it's at this time of closeness that we're most able to arouse Hashem's Rachmanis as we come to our Father to plead for all the important aspects in our life. Number 14, Yom Kippur itself, the climax of the 40 days. It's a day set aside like none other for tefillah, for tshuva and closeness to Hashem, as the Gemara in Krisus tells us that every moment of Yom Kippur affords kapara. And Shlomo Zalman Orbach says, therefore one should not waste even a moment of this awesome day, because any moment, every second, you know, we have so much to gain. 15, Erev Rosh Chodesh, Yom Kippur Katon. The Chavetz Chaim tells us that Hashem saw, you know, that a person would have a very difficult time once a year to do tshuva on all his Averos and for Yom Kippur, and therefore, he gave us Yom Kippur Katon, where on a monthly basis, you know, we can do tshuva and have that kapara given to us, you know, for our Averos. And in that way, gain, you know, the kapara on a smaller amount. And we know there are those who say slichos at mincha on Yom Kippur Katan. Some say Tehillim after Chatzos, the entire Tehillim. There are those who fast. And the Mishnah Berurah tells us that even one who does not fast on Erev Rosh Chodesh should at any rate, still he should do tshuva, he should still, you know, work on his wrongdoings that he did over the past month. And if a person takes the time and makes the effort to clean his slate, then the day of Rosh Chodesh will bring kapara, leading into a new month, a fresh month of spiritual growth, where we're unburdened by the averos of the last month. Number 16, Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, is a special one day a year where all parents have the opportunity to obtain the potent dose of the divine assistance of Hashem in raising our children. And it's a tefillah that the Shlach Kodesh put together, which we say Erev Rosh Chodesh Sivan, because that is the yahrzeit of the Shlach. And just as Hashem gave us the Torah during Sivan, He stands there ready to help us give over the Torah to our children. And we just have to ask, we just have to daven for Him to offer His help, to give us the help, and bring it into our lives. And we should ask Hashem that our children should have all their needs, they should be able to find their shidduchim in the right times, and that it's important to daven that we have good and upright children who's going to follow in the path of Torah, and not just assume that, you know, the kids are going to, you know, follow our ways and just follow, you know, go in that way. 17 Purim, as we mentioned, back Purim time, how we always wish that Yom Kippur would be Yom Kippurim, because Purim, we said, is the greatest day of the year, and it's a day to take advantage. Obviously, as we mentioned at the beginning, there's Shabbos, Shavuos for Matan Torah, you know, so for learning Chatzos, which is why we say Tichin Chatzos then, it's why we say Slichos at Chatzos, because it's a special moment. And with all these different moments of Eis Ratzon, we should certainly be able to tap into something spiritual at any of these times to grab these sails of Ruchnius, of Siyata Deshmaya, and ask Hashem for His help in attaining our needs. I guess Rosh Hashanah is the day you're being Mamluch Hashem. It's not the same. I'm not going to say it's not. As I said, I'm not going through every year. Okay, so we'll close with our story, which happens to be connected, and the homework. So, whenever any of the Sherer children would ever, you know, come down with a fever or other ailment, so Moshe Sherer's mother, she would always go to the Stolner Rebbe and ask for a bracha, you know, for the children. And he'd always say, add another candle at the Shabbos candles. And he said by the time that Rav Moshe Sherer, you know, brought his kala into the family, she thought she was marrying the size of an army. There were so many candles already. But he says, that's not what was unique. He says, little Moshe used to watch his mother light the candles and cry and daven for a very long time with her face reflecting in the candlelight. And he was wondering, you know, what is she saying? You know, what's she doing there? And as every little child might do, he hid under the table, hoping to hear, you know, what is his mother saying? And what he heard, he would never forget. He didn't totally fit under the table, it was very narrow. And while most of him was under the table, his hands were still sticking out. And as his mother approached the candles, she waved her hands, covered her face. And what seemed like an eternity to Moshe, she said the bracha, and she whispered the accompanying tefillah. And then he heard, Ribbono shel Olam. And she said in Yiddish, but the translator says, please Hashem, light up my children's eyes through the precious words of your holy Torah. Please allow them to receive the beauty of your Torah. And she said this over and over, with the cries filling the room. And he tried not to move, when suddenly he felt a tear land on his hand. And he peeked out and saw that his mother had not noticed him, but he would never forget the teardrop, as that was a precious jewel that made an impression on him forever. And if we take these Eis Ratzons, we take these moments, there's a lot that we can accomplish, you know, without tefillos, that we can get, as we said, at that wholesale sale, you know, we can get it, you know, at really good prices. The homework for this week, the homework's getting a little more detailed, a little more tougher at times. I know, maybe I can make a copy of this for next week, is to try to follow inside when the Chazan's saying Chazar HaShatz, to sort of try to follow and pay attention to what he is saying.